desire your prayers. If you all don't mind, I'd like to say a little prayer myself. It's going to be more for me than for you all, but if... Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for bringing us together tonight, and we're here to hear from you, and we just ask, Lord, that you would have your way tonight, Lord. We pray that you would bless the service. I pray that you'd bless your word, Lord. I pray that you'd help me to do what you would have me to do, Lord, to say what you would have me to say. And I just ask, Lord, that you would, again, bless us tonight. We thank you for your presence here. We ask that you would move upon our hearts, Lord, and do a work in our lives, and we'll give you the praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. So tonight, I've been thinking about this message for quite a while. And so tonight I want to talk about good news. You know, we talk about the good news of the gospel and the good news of what Jesus brought, the message that he brought. And so I want to start in Exodus chapter 20. And I don't know, we might just go ahead and read some of these. It says, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." Ephesians 5. We're going to read verses 3 to 5. "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named amongst you, as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." Colossians 3:5-9. "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds." Amen. That's good news. You know, a lot of times I think of people when they think about salvation and they think about the good news or the gospel, they think in this way: thou shalt not. thou shalt not. Don't do this. Don't do that. And, you know, they might think, you know what, I can't sin anymore. You know, I can't lie. I can't covet. I can't steal. I can't commit adultery. I can't, I don't know what else the list is. You know, they say, you know, to serve God is to hinder my life. To serve God is to hamper me in some way. I can't do the things that I want to do anymore because it's sin, because it's wrong, according to the scriptures. And so that's their idea of good news. I can't. You know, I was thinking about that whole concept of, and that principle or that idea of I can't, you know, like as if God is hurting us because of the things that he said, you know, the things that he's declared to be sinful or wrong. You know, I was thinking about the song that was sung during the song service. I believe it was 479. And it was talking about how the Lord had lifted them up out of the miry clay. You know that all these sins that were listed and all the things that God has commanded us not to do, they're miry clay. It's a bondage that the Lord frees us from. He says, I was out on the Broadway of sin and despair, crushed neath the burden of sorrow and care. My constant companions were trouble and doubt, till Jesus reached down and lifted me out. That's the fruit of your labor right there when you live in these types of sins. You know, you think that maybe they're, you know, the freedom to do whatever you want. And these are the things that you choose to do. These are the things that you want to do. These are the things that you're going to miss if you serve God. All you're missing is the miry clay. All you're missing is the burden, the like it says, sorrow and care, trouble and doubt. It's all there. It's there for you. It's there for the having. If you want to live in that state of in that state of mind. You know, I think about what sin took from me. And what it steals and what it leaves behind and the remnants of it. It's, and then to hear people say that, you know, like they regret that they got to leave that stuff behind. It's a stumbling block. It's going to keep you from getting close to God. Yes. If you're constantly thinking about what you're missing or what's hurting you by serving God, it's going to be a stumbling block. You're not going to make it very far. You got to change your mind. You got to think about it different. You know, yes, the reality is that we can't sin anymore. But you know, the truth of the matter is that we don't have to sin anymore. Amen. Amen. We don't have to sin.
We're free from sin.
And so to me, that's the better thought. It's not that I can't. That God's holding me back. He's reining me in, keeping me from all these pleasures. Or what I think maybe are pleasures. But the reality is I don't have to live in those states of mind or in those miry clays. I don't have to. Because the Lord has delivered me. He's lifted me out. So when I was thinking about this and I was thinking about how we always think of the shall nots, you know, and again, like I said, these are all blessings. to live your life according to the scriptures, according to the word of God, according to the ideas that he set forth as the best way to do things, that by far the best thing to do is to do exactly what the Lord tells you to do. Because he's not telling you to do it just because he wants to overlord over you or be a bully to you. He's helping you. He's blessing you. These are where you're going to be blessed. We heard about the children of Israel not going into the land. But that was where their blessing was at. If they'd have just followed the Lord, the blessings that they could have enjoyed. The good news. Let's go to Acts chapter 5. Read verses 30 and 31. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Let's read 26 and 18 also. Maybe I should read from 15. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So I was thinking about good news, and obviously the good news isn't so much of what we can't do anymore in serving God. That's not really the good news, not all by itself. To serve God and to do what he asks us to do is good. But it's not really the good news. And so I started thinking about it, and I was trying to get to a certain point, and this part right here, I had to address it. The Lord in his ministry said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. What good is repentance? How is repentance a benefit to us? How is acknowledging to God our wrongs and how we've broken the things that we just read and that we're at fault and we stand in a position of condemnation and deserve death because of the acts that we've committed? How does repentance benefit us? It's in the fact that he says he'll forgive. He says that if we repent or confess with our mouth, that he'll forgive. Right? That's good news.
Amen.
Removing it as far as the east is from the west. So we can lay all of our baggage or inconsistencies of life that we failed to serve God in the way that he's designed us to serve him, and we can lay all those at his feet, and he said that he'll forgive it. And he will. He will forgive it. And that is great news. I thank God for that news. I don't know where I would be at without the forgiveness of God, the mercy of God. But is that where the good news stops? That's where it starts. You know, I think of so many who talk about forgiveness, and really what they're saying is that God has finally figured it out. That man is corrupt and there's no help in him. That man is evil and corrupt and does what is right in his own eyes always, and there's no help in him. And so I'm just going to forgive it and act like it never happened. So many people think that way. Really, that's all they have is forgiveness. So what they're saying is that they can do whatever they really want to do, and God's just going to forgive it. They're going to confess it, and he's just going to forgive it, and they're going to keep going on and confessing, and he's going to keep on and forgiving, and that is their good news. Is that good news? Is that the kind of salvation that you want? Is that the kind of deliverance that you want? Is that God pulling you out of the miry clay and setting you on a rock? If he lets you just live and do the same thing that you've always been doing, and now he's just going to put a cloak of forgiveness over you and act like nothing's ever happened, blind his eyes to it and act like he can't even see your sins anymore? Is that the good news? Is that the plan of salvation? Is that the God that we serve? Is that the limits of his power? That he can create a man that's perfect and just as he would have him be? When he created Adam and Eve, they were good. There was no sin in them. And now he's going to just throw up his hands and give up and say, well, you know what? Sin is in them, and so it's always going to be in them, and that's just the way it is. And that's the plan of salvation. That's the good news. No. Jesus came to do so much more than that. Amen. The sacrifice that he gave meant much more than that. Do you think he bled and died and suffered and went through what he went through just to cover his eyes to our sin and act like it didn't happen? There's so much more to salvation than that. If forgiveness is all that we have, then we don't really have much. Yes. Because forgiveness by itself doesn't change anything. We went to Prague recently, and Brother Marty gave a message on repentance. And, I mean, he was absolutely right in that repentance without changing is not repentance. You don't have repentance. If you're continuing on and on and doing the same things over and over, then you really haven't got to the depths of repentance yet. And so I was just thinking about it, and obviously, you know, when you talk about the good news of the gospel, of course, forgiveness is good news. But it's not all the good news. It's not where the good news ends. It's not the peak of the good news. You know, so many people live in that state of forgiveness. And then they don't go on into perfection. Luke chapter 5. Verses 18 to 26. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in, because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thy house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. I was really blessed by this. This man received good news. You know, oftentimes when I've read this passage, I think of, I always thought about it as if the Lord gave him what he really needed. And that was the forgiveness of his sins. And he came for the healing. And it's almost like what the Lord did with Solomon, and that when he asked for wisdom, the Lord went ahead and gave him the other things that he thought he would ask for, right? Well, this man, he was asking for healing, but the Lord gave him what he needed in forgiveness. But you know, the good news about this passage that really hit me recently, he says, your sins are forgiven you. And they were all thinking about it and talking about it and wondering, what in the world is Jesus doing, forgiving sins, and how can he do that? And then he says, you know what? What's harder to do? To say your sins are forgiven, or to say rise up and walk? And so I ask us the same thing. What's harder for God to do? To say that we're forgiven, or to enable us to walk? He didn't just forgive us. He didn't leave us in that state. He doesn't leave us in the miry clay. He doesn't leave us into the bondage of the sin that corrupts our lives. What kind of gospel is that? To let you stay in what it is that's festering and growing on you. What kind of gospel and good news is that? What kind of freedom is that? What kind of deliverance is that? How can you even call that deliverance? I love this. He said, rise up and walk. And he rose up and he walked. You know, there's nothing keeping us from serving God. There's nothing keeping us from doing what it is the Lord has asked us to do. There's nothing keeping us. There's nothing hindering us from serving God the way the scriptures say to serve him. If we go to Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16. It says, This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. We can walk. We can walk in the Spirit. He says, if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We don't have to. You know, I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about the idea of how so many say, I can't do this, or I can't do that anymore. And I was thinking about Paul in Romans 7, and how he was talking about, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You know, and I really think that a person I don't know. I don't know if a person can really be sanctified if they don't get to that point in their heart and in their life where they ask God, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who can help me to overcome these sins that keep buffeting me, that keep ensnaring me, the temptations that keep drawing me down? Who can deliver me from this situation that's in my life? He answers the question. He says he thanks God that through Jesus Christ. But I wonder, can a person really receive sanctification if they can't find it in their heart to really desire, to really want that pureness, to really want that cleanness, to really want to be out of the miry clay, to really want to be delivered, to really see it as a need, to be wanting to be free? Colossians. We read about how he talked about putting off. So now we're going to read about what he says to put on. Colossians 3 and 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You know, this is what God has for us. Bowels of mercy. Not just mercy that you receive, but mercy that you give. Kindness that you give. Humbleness of mind and meekness. Long-suffering with one another. Forbearing one another. Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel. You know, and I was thinking about this, and the Lord has delivered us. It's like Brother Philip was saying, I believe it was earlier this morning, his message about loving our enemies. You know, that we don't have a mind to want to crush our enemies or to destroy our enemies. That's not in our heart. That's not what the Lord has taught us to do. Forgiveness. He says that how can we be forgiven if we're not willing to forgive? But you know that all those graces, as he said earlier today, grace is more than merit and favor. Grace is power. It's God's power in us, the indwelling power of God that enables us to walk uprightly, to walk righteously, to love our enemies, to forgive those who have abused us, evil and treated us, and to be able to say, you know what, I forgive you, and to have a heart of love for them that they would be delivered and freed from what causes them to act in that way towards us. That's graces that enables a person to do that. That's the power of God in our hearts and in our lives. That's freedom. You know, bitterness is going to destroy you. When you hold unforgiveness and have bitterness to somebody, it's going to eat you up. And it does nothing to the person that you're bitter against. It will kill you. But the Lord says that we don't have to be unforgiving. We can forgive in those situations, in those circumstances. We can love people when they hate us and want to do all kinds of manner of evil against us. We can love people that bear false witness against us. It's not a matter of, oh, I can't punch that guy in the face anymore. You know, or whatever your vengeance is, you know? There's no peace in that. There's no comfort in that. I've never hit anybody and felt better by it. I've never done those types of acts. I've never been bitter and angry at somebody and felt better because of it. I can honestly say that I haven't done any sin in my life and felt good about it and felt like it was a blessing in my life and felt like I was being blessed because of it. I mean, they might think that. People who live in sin might think that. But it's because they haven't tasted anything better. They don't really know the full fruit of God, the deliverance that God has. They don't know the joys of the Lord. You know that we don't have to be in despair. We don't have to be lonely. We don't have to be beat down and destroyed. You know, I think about Paul, and I'm not even sure where it's at. I think it's in 2 Corinthians, where he talks about all the things that they suffered. I think it's in chapter 6. But in all things, approving ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. I mean, you hear the things that he's going through and you think, this is a blessed life? This is good news? That this was what was becoming to the Christian. By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. That's how he endured all of those things. You ask yourself, how in the world can they sing songs of praise in a prison, in shackles, after having been whipped and beaten? And they sing songs of praise unto God. It's because of the grace of God. We don't have to be bitter. We don't have to allow these things to destroy us, to take our joy and our peace away. We can have peace and joy in the midst of all these things. There's so much better news than that God just forgives and overlooks what we do now. There's so much better news than that. What kind of a good God, righteous God, holy God, a God who's all-powerful, would leave us in a state like that? He's much more powerful than that. And really, what he told the people around the paralyzed man is, what's easier to do? To tell him his sins are forgiven? Or to tell him that he can walk? Well, I'm here to tell you that the Lord is telling us that we can walk. We can walk and serve God. We can follow him every step of the way. We can live for the Lord and not turn back. We can be free from the burdens of sin and despair. We can be delivered. We are a new creation, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I thank God for the grace of God. And I thank the Lord that he hasn't left me in the miry clay. He hasn't left me to languish and to suffer and to struggle in that clay. But he set me upon a rock. I thank God for deliverance. I pray that the Lord would help you and me and all of us to rise up and walk and to serve God. and to serve him in a way that is pleasing unto him, knowing that he's given us the power and ability to do that. I thank God for the good news. That it's not a message of thou shalt not and you can't this and you can't that. And it's not even a message of you're forgiven, but I'm just going to close my eyes and you keep doing what you're doing and we'll just iron it out at the end. But it's a gospel of good news that God has said, don't do this. And he's given us power not to do it. And we can be free from those things. And we don't have to live in the bondages of sin and despair. We don't have to be in his clutches. We don't have to be victims of Satan. We don't have to do what the devil tells us to. We don't have to live in his bondage. I thank God for freedom. I appreciate you all letting me share.